Turn to Genesis chapter 23. Why don't we stand and read responsively the first 9 verses? I'll read the first, you read the second, and so on. And Sarah was 127 years old. These were the years of the life of Sarah. And Abraham stood before his dead and spake unto the sons of Heth, saying, and the children of Heth answered Abraham, saying unto him,
Hear us, my Lord, that our mighty prince among us, in the choice of our sepulchres, bury thy dead. None of us shall withhold from thee his sepulchre, but that thou mayest bury the dead.
And Abraham stood up and bowed himself to the people of the land, even to the children of Heth.
And he communed with them, saying, If it be your mind that I should bury my dead,
that he may give me the cave of Machpelah, which he hath, which is in the end of his field, for as much money as it is worth, he shall give it me for a possession of a burying place among you. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for the word we have. I ask you to give us a freedom and ease to speak and to listen and pay attention, and may your Holy Spirit speak to us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Why don't you be seated? A previous lesson that I mentioned something about Mount Moriah, and I said, check me out, because it was just in my memory. It just came into my head at the time. Well, I checked it out about Mount Moriah. Now, Abraham took Isaac to Mount Moriah to offer him as a sacrifice. Remember that? We just studied here a while back. He was instructed by God to go to Mount Moriah. Another thing, David, when he is offering a sacrifice after he'd made a mistake in numbering the children of Israel and a lot of people had died, he bought the threshing floor on Mount Moriah. And then Solomon built the temple on Mount Moriah. Guess what's there now? No, there's a Muslim mosque. Today a Muslim mosque sits on top of the Temple Mount. I used to think when Saddam Hussein was sending all of his Scud bombs in there that one of them was going to hit it and knock it off, and then the Jews would build their temple. Let me tell you what, you think they got a lot of problems now between Muslims and Jews? Just wait till they knock that mosque down and try to build the temple, because the temple can't go anywhere else. You see, Mount Moriah, all the way from the sacrifice of Abraham, of Isaac, by Abraham, and then there was the place of the atonement for David's sins on this threshing floor there that he bought, and then that's exactly where Solomon built the temple, and that's the place. Now, we as Christians don't think so much about the place. I don't. I can worship God anywhere. I can pray anywhere. I don't have to be in a church building. It doesn't have, in fact, I don't want it to have crosses on it. I don't want any crosses on it. A cross isn't the symbol of what I have. What I have is the blood of Christ and an empty tomb. But at any rate, that's very important to the Muslims, and it's very important to the Jews. Even though the Jews are almost atheistic, especially since what Hitler did in the Holocaust, a lot of them feel deserted by God and that he didn't take care of them and whatever. But at any rate, there is not a lot of belief. Now, there are some still very strong believers among the Jews. And there are a lot of Christians who want to be Jews. I don't know why. It is not an advantage to be a Jew. Now, in Paul, you ought to see Paul. Paul had all the advantages of being a Jew, and he threw it all away, counted it done, that he might win Christ. And the idea that the law was glorious, and it was. It is a wonderful thing, and it brings conviction to me every time I read it. I can't read the Ten Commandments without saying, I fail there, and I fail there, and I fail there. It brings conviction of sin, very definitely. But once you look at Christ, once you see the sacrifice, once you see the gift of righteousness, the gift of salvation, the gift of eternal life, all as a gift to you, good night. How could you go back to the law? It just doesn't make sense. I can't help believe that they do not understand the gospel if they want to be Jews. But there's an awful lot of them right here in the United States. Okay, looking at this chapter, it's a very unusual chapter. And the reason why it's unusual, it's about a woman. Okay, some of you women are going to go home burning me at the stake today. But this is almost maybe the only woman whose death and years are recounted in the Bible. Do you realize we know more about Sarah than we know about almost anybody, any other woman in the Bible? Very, very interesting. She was 127 years old. Now, she had Isaac when she was 90. So that makes her, that makes Isaac 37 years old when his mother dies. And when he gets his wife in the next chapter, he was comforted in the death of his mother. So that was, even at 37 years old, this man is very tied to his mother. Really is. And Sarah died in Kijath Arba, which is Hebron. Just two different names for the same place. Hebron, in the land of Canaan. And Abraham came to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. Now, another thing, the Jews practiced burial. Many of the heathen practice cremation. Now, what settled it for me was when Moses died, God buried him. And that's good enough for me. So I said, I'll go through the trouble to get to the burial. But at any rate, that's sort of the thing. Many of the heathen nations burned their dead. And that's not even those that were worshiping Molech that would take their children and burn their children in the fire. What kind of an idiot burns his child in a fire? You know, some of the things that are done around the world in the name of religion are just absolutely crazy. They really are. I just don't understand it. Your natural thing, I was watching the little babies in here and all the women going ooh and ah and wanting to touch him and wanting to feel him, whatever, you know. And my wife was that way. She just loved them when they were not hardly bigger than your hand. I don't want to touch them. That neck going like that, I don't. I want them about 9 months old where I can trip them and roll them across the floor and play with them, you know. Not worry too much about them. But boy, with that little head going any direction it wants to go, and you got to be sure you keep your hand up there. No. I don't want that responsibility. You ladies can keep that responsibility. At any rate, Sarah died. We're given the years of her life. And we know very much about her. We know her personality. We know her belief with Abraham, and yet her doubt, her fear. We know the lack of faith in giving her servant to Abraham as a wife, and then him getting the child Ishmael from her. And then her jealousy when a teenage boy starts mocking a little baby. What? As far as I'm concerned, that's just a normal teenage boy. But, boy, she didn't take it that way. Get him out of here. And then when God was in agreement with her, tells Abraham, listen to her, do what she says. Not many times in the Bible does God command you to do what your wife says. That's an unusual thing. But he did. And so whatever. Do you know that women could not vote in America till 1920? That's not that far ago. That's not that far back. Now, there was one state that when it became a state, and I think it's Wyoming, women could vote. They could vote in state elections. They couldn't vote in national elections until 1920. Now, think of all the women in the Bible that you've read about that they're just almost dismissed. They don't count. Look what Lot offered with his daughters. That just makes me mad every time I read. Now, my wife was a very good Bible student, and when she would study Solomon, she'd get mad at me. I'd have to defend myself. And I would tell her, look, I don't have a second wife. Well, when you get the second one, you're going to lose the first one. But she would get mad at Solomon because he had 1,000 wives. She said, those poor girls, they don't meet him but once in their life. The rest of their life, they're just chained up somewhere. Of course, they're in pretty good shape, I imagine. They live better than most people. But it was the idea of love and love between a man and a woman and what marriage ought to be rather than as a diplomatic contract, which most of Solomon's wives were diplomatic contracts. I mean, my daughter is married to Solomon. That makes he's going to treat me nice, you know, in all of his wealth and whatever. So we don't know a lot about women. Look at women in the world today. Do you realize what you have? I don't think you do. I really don't think that many of you think about it, how great I've got it being an American woman. What if you're a Muslim woman? Can drive a car. Vote. Couldn't vote. Don't even have any rights to your children. Your husband can do anything he wants to do. Listen, that's around the world today. I mean, this is not way back yonder. That's around the world today. The majority of women in the world today are looked upon like cattle and horses. They can be bought and sold, abused and misused, and you sit here in America. Hey, in the middle of the Bible Belt, Texas. Man, we probably got more King James preachers in Texas than we got in any other state. Praise God. You ought to get up every morning thanking God you were born in Texas or got here as soon as you could. Isn't that the truth? It really is the truth. And when you think about it, it's throughout history. We're talking about 1920. Do you realize that freed black slaves could vote in America before women? Before free-born women. Women who could inherit, but they couldn't vote. And when they got married, almost all of their property went to their husbands. You have an awful lot of rights. And American women, instead of flaunting their sexual freedom and all these other things that they have, they ought to be thanking God on their knees every day that they have the privileges they have, the blessings they have, and that they were privileged by God to have that. Here we have one chapter dedicated to the death and burial of one woman. And a very famous woman, really. Because the seed has to go through her. Ishmael couldn't be it. Abraham had a prayer. He didn't get answered. Lord, let it be Ishmael. Lord, won't Ishmael live before you? Lord, please, he's my son. God said, no. It's going to be a child that comes through Sarah. And that's Isaac. Now when he's offering Sarah's child, God says, your only son. And it wasn't his only son. He had six by Keturah. He had Ishmael, that's seven. Isaac's eight. But it's the only son that counts. Not that he didn't bless the others. He blessed the others. The Bible tells you what he did for Ishmael. Made him a mighty man. He had 12 sons that were princes. That night, he did well. God heard his prayer when they were out there. He wasn't listening to Hagar's prayer, but he was listening to Ishmael's prayer. Ishmael learned something from his father. He learned how to pray to the real God. And he might have done that all his life. After studying it this time, I don't know how many times I've taught Genesis, but after studying it this time, I got a bigger picture of Ishmael than I ever got in my life. That maybe he was a man of faith too, because he was blessed and God heard his prayer. I think that's just absolutely terrific. I believe he learned something in 15, 16 years with Abraham. He learned his faith and he knew how to pray. And he's made a mighty man. He's very rich and strong and courageous, and he's got a lot of manly qualities that I really appreciate and have always liked him. But in my thinking of our modern day times, you got all these sons of Ishmael out there fighting the Jews. And so I got a little different picture of Ishmael this time as I was studying this chapter. You ought to thank God. Let's just look to the verses in the New Testament. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3, 5 through 7. 1 Peter chapter 3, 5 through 7. He's talking about marriage, actually, likewise you wives. In fact, that's one of the best passages, these first 10 or 12 verses. First 12 verses of 1 Peter chapter 3. I always go over with people that I have performed weddings for, or that I'm giving counseling. I go to this passage right away because it just got such beautiful stuff. But look at chapter 3, five. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, talking about a meek spirit, who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection to their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. I finally got Verlene to call me Lord. I said, it's Lord Lindell. Lord Lindell. And I actually had witnesses. Jim and Archie Campbell can witness to that fact. And I'd throw it up to her once in a while. It's Lord Lindell, honey. It's Lord Lindell. Calling him Lord. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, as long as you do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, your husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Many times in a marriage, your prayers are hindered because you two are fussing and fighting too much. You need to get things right. You need to settle some things, overlook some things, forget some things, so you can get your prayers answered. You need your prayers answered. Don't you need your prayers answered in this world? Bless your heart, you need somebody to answer your prayers. The Lord of heaven. And he said, if you're down there fussing over, have you ever raised kids? One doesn't count. You got to have at least two to argue over who did it. You understand that? You have to threaten to spank both of them at times if they don't tell you the truth. Isn't it amazing how kids, they bring controversy? They're selfish. And they will lie. Someone says, oh, a kid wouldn't lie. They lie every time they open their mouth. You got chocolate all over here. Did you eat the candy? No. No, I didn't eat the candy. If you've been a parent for a little while, you know what I'm talking about. Hey, ladies, He said, look at your husband like the Lord and dwell with them men according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife. I know a lot of men that put down their wife every time they open their mouth. That's how you build a strong marriage. Just put her down every time you open your mouth. Put her looks down, put her choices down, put her food down, put her whatever. You need to brag on each other a little bit, you know? You need to praise each other. Hey, you ought to say thank you every once in a while. It wouldn't hurt you. I know it'd almost crimp your tongue, wouldn't it? You ought to say, thank you for what you do for me. Wow, what a beautiful thing a wife is. What a wonderful gift that God gave when he created Eve for Adam. Wonderful, wonderful thing. So here it says, holy women in old time trusted in God and adorned themselves with their breasts showing. With a handkerchief cut into three parts with strings. That's what these bikinis look like. I don't think they'd make a good handkerchief, to tell you the truth. No! Honor, love, respect. Some of you women need to quit putting down your husbands. Amen. That's good preaching, Brother Lindell. Whether you like it or not. I figured it out. I'll tell you about it later. Personal question. You know, we'd do a whole lot better with just a little common respect. Just a little bit of common respect. What a matter of how you could build something beautiful, absolutely beautiful. That ought to be your goal. Not just what you can get for you out of the marriage. What can we build that's beautiful? Evidently, Abraham loved Sarah. Evidently, Sarah loved Abraham. She obeyed him by telling the Pharaoh and Abimelech, both of them, that she was his sister, not letting him know she was his wife, because that's what he asked her to do. It was a stupid thing, excuse me. I think it's sinful. I think it was even a sinful thing for them to do that and put Sarah at risk. Why does a man want to marry a virgin? Why? So that the child that comes to him, he knows it's his. She hasn't been played with 25 men. And so they value that, and yet Abraham put Sarah into two harems because of his sin, lack of faith. Boy, and God had to protect her. Now God's scratching a little bit here because Abraham's doing one of the stupidest things that a great man of faith could ever do by putting Sarah in that position, because God had already told him she's going to bear a son. And your seed's going to come through her son. Build a marriage. Man, build a marriage. Build a love affair. Build some respect. Treat people with honor. Brag on them. They don't have three things that are good. Well, brag on those three things they've got that are good. And thank God you don't have what you don't have. You don't have a drunk. You don't have a dope addict. You don't have a workaholic. You don't have all sorts of kinds of husbands you could have. Just take a look out there. Look at what some of the wives are going through. You ought to sit in the pastor's study a few times, just a few years. You know what you'd find out? You'd find that everything isn't as peachy creamy as it looks. And what a wonderful thing it is to meet people who show respect to each other, show love to each other, honor. I know my wife was mad at me many a time. We were both sarcastic and hard-headed. But let me tell you, she never put me down to other people. She never put me down to other people. She held me up always, defended me always. Wow, that's worth something. You know, that's worth something. Anyway, look at Hebrews 11:11. Here's another verse about Sarah. Hebrews 11:11. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith. Praise the Lord. Now, when I read the story of Sarah and Abraham, I am sort of amazed, in a way, that their faith doesn't seem as strong to me as it ought to. I mean, he's the father of the faithful. She is his wife that the seed's going to come through. And yet, good night, I haven't waited 40 years for a child either. You know, I wait 2 months to sell a 13 acres, and my patience gets a little bit slow, you know. When? What's going to happen? What, this going to be another delay? Can you get a loan? Will anybody lend you any money? I hope they will. Well, that's just a couple of months. And it's not costing me a dime. If they don't buy it, it doesn't cost me anything. It doesn't hurt me. I mean, I'm paid out. Praise the Lord, I'm paid out. I don't owe anybody anything. Wonderful. I never thought I'd ever get here. But I am. Praise the Lord. Hang in there, kids. You can make it one of these days. You might be old like me, but hey, it's still a good thing to get. You know something? We need to be patient with the Lord. And if any chapter proves it, it's this one. God gave a promise. God keeps his promises. But the New Testament looks upon Sarah and said, she acted in faith. Well, maybe what we see in the chapter sometimes and her complaining, whatever, is some of her fussing with Abraham, normal husband-wife thing. Most of the time, maybe she was just as faithful as could be. And we see the exception sometimes. Hear what it says. Through faith. Also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, 90 years old. Because she judged him faithful who had promised. Well, what we see in the chapters leading up to this, it acts like she's doubting God and she's trying to help God out and whatever, but maybe most of her life is lived in faith. And we don't necessarily see that. But the Bible tells us here that's what it is. Now the child's got to come through her. Isn't that an interesting thing? And Abraham grew in faith enough that when he went to offer Isaac, the Bible tells us he believed God was able to raise him from the dead. He knew the child was going to be the heir. Wow. Tremendous faith. Look at Romans 4:19. Talking about Abraham says, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. I pretty well consider my body dead. When he was about 100 years old. He's got me by quite a few. Neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Wow. He had enough faith to believe nothing was too hard for the Lord. Is anything too hard for the Lord? No, there's nothing too hard for the Lord. Put it in your mind, if God wants to do it, he just speaks the word and it's done. Neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able also to perform. Therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Fully persuaded. That's what faith is. Faith is fully persuaded. I'm fully persuaded this Bible's the Word of God. I'm fully persuaded that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. I'm fully persuaded that when he died, he paid for all my sins. I'm fully persuaded that before the courts of heaven, I'm as pure as Jesus Christ. Oh, by the way, some people thinking about the church having to go through part of the rapture to clean herself. Bless your heart, the church is pure and clean as she can be. You are. I know, in the flesh, you're a worm. No doubt. And you deal with temptations every day that humble you, and you think, why am I so stupid? Why do I do what I do, you know? Over and over and over again, you have to confess the same things. And it's a shame, yes, but praise God, man. Before the courts of heaven, you're just as pure can be. You have the righteousness of Christ, and it isn't your doing. Amen. It's God's doing. God made you pure. You're the bride. Fully persuaded. I'm fully persuaded that what God has promised, he's able to perform. That's my faith. Is that yours? It's my faith. If God says it, he's going to do it. If God says there's going to be a temple rebuilt on the Dome of the Rock, let me tell you, it's going to happen. And a lot of people that don't believe the Bible and think that they have their rights to that land, God says no. He has the rights to that land. And he gave it to Abraham way back when. And Abraham remained a faithful man till his end. Look at Galatians chapter 4. I'll start with 20. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Look at those two things. Verse 24. Which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants. The one from Mount Sinai, which gendereth the bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is physical Jerusalem, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, that's the heavenly Jerusalem, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not, break forth and cry, thou that travailest not, for the desolate hath many more children than she would have a husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac, are the children of promise. These two wives of Abraham represent two covenants. Hagar is a slave. I don't know whether they bought her or whether Pharaoh in Egypt gave her to Sarah when they had this situation where she was calling herself his sister. But she was a slave. When Sarah said, you're going to go in and become a wife to Abraham, she had no choice. She couldn't say no. She went in and became a wife. Well, she gets pregnant right away. What does that tell her? It's not him. It's her. And so Sarah's despised in her eyes. She's a little smart aleck, tripping around, showing her baby bump. And Sarah got mad about it. And she kicked her out. God sent her back. Let that boy get about 15, 16 years old. And then God sent her out. These are two allegories. These two pictures. Picture stories. Here's slavery, bondage. Here's freedom, promise. Wow. You know the difference between those two? Have you ever thought much about whether you're a slave or whether you're a free person? Are you? I was raised that I was free. That's what I was raised. What did I think about being born in Texas and in America? I'm free. Couldn't wait to be 21. See, I didn't get to be a man till I was 21. Some of you kids get to be men when you're 18. How about that? Free. Promise. What is the promise now? That God is going to, through the ages, show his kindness to us that are free. To us that belong to him. God needs ages? You know what? When you see God, you're not going to understand him. And when you've seen him for 100 years, you're still not going to understand him. And when you've seen him for 10,000 years, he's still going to be so big, he's going to keep you in awe. I used to think, I don't understand this. And I've studied it over and over again, and I don't get it. I'm going to ask God about that one day. I've quit that years ago. I just stopped even thinking that thought. Thought that's a foolish, foolish thought. I'm never going to understand God, and you aren't either. He's too big. He is just too big. And every time I learn more about my body, I realize how great God is. There's millions of living little things procreating inside my body so that I can live. And if one of them goes out and goes bad and goes dead, I'm dead. Isn't that something? We are a meat machine. Wow, what has God done? It's so great. Nah, you're not ever going to understand God. But you're going to be praising him. I'm in awe of God now. And the older I get, the more in awe I am. That's the truth. I'm not telling you a story there. I am more in awe of God today than when I got saved, than when I surrendered to preach, than whenever I had some of my greatest years of evangelism. I'm still more in awe of God today. God is just too big. Look at this universe, and the more they discover, the more there is to discover. How big is that universe out there? Well, take the Hubble and take its picture and take it way out there, hundreds of billions of light years away. See that black spot out there? Well, take a look at it. Millions of galaxies still coming. And God put them out with the span of his hand. God said, let there be. And it was. I tell you what, blesses my heart. I'll tell you, the very interesting thing about this too is that about how trading was done. You notice how humble Abraham is? He didn't walk in and say, I'll give you 2,000, I'll give you 15. How much you want for that? No, it's a very humble, a very polite, a very Eastern way of doing things. We don't understand a lot of the Bible because we don't think like Easterners. And I don't even know that Easterners today think like they thought back there. It's really hard to put yourself back in history because your experiences just don't match. You cannot understand how a Texas Ranger, maybe 19, 20 years old, can go out and fight against people and just kill them. Take no prisoners. Well, you're not about to lose your whole society. You're not out to defend everything. We've got policemen and armies and governments and lawyers to defend us. These guys were by themselves. Well, that's same with these people back here. They lived in a different world. And here's this mighty prince, Abraham, rich, beyond the imagination of even most of the men back there. And he bows to the ground to the sons of Heth. I would like the cave at Machpelah. Let me tell you something about this. Machpelah is still a cemetery. And you know who's buried in there? Abraham and Sarah, Isaac and Rebekah, and Jacob and Leah. And there's a Muslim mosque sitting right on the top of it. And nobody has been allowed to go down into the cave for 600 years. But it's still a cemetery. And it's still at the same spot that it was. And these people are still buried there. I think it's interesting. I think how trading was done is interesting. A guy says, well, you're a rich man. You're a very rich man. You're a mighty prince among us. What's this between me and you? Take the land. I'll give it to you. Well, if you'll give it to me, then tell me how much the land is worth and I'll pay you for it. And they go back and forth like this, you know. Now then, just to sell a house, Diane sent me about this much paperwork. And the house isn't sold yet. He says, the land's worth 400 pieces of silver, but what's that between me and you? I give it to you. Well, if you'll give it to me, count him out 400 pieces of silver. You see what they went through and how they traded things? And this was done in the gate of the city somewhere where others could see, yes, now we know that Ephron, the Hittite, has sold Machpelah to Abraham, the Jew. Or he wouldn't have been the Jew then, just been Abraham. Hebrew. That's how the trading was done. Sarah is a mighty woman. Maybe we know more about Mary than we do about Sarah. Can you think of any woman other than Sarah and Mary that we really have a lot of information about? This is not. Basically, the history of the Bible is the history of men. And women simply did not have that much power or were not given that much honor. Now then, today, looking around the world and looking at the history of the world, even the religious history of the world, man, you ladies ought to thank God. You ought to be real careful about your vote, too. You ought to be real careful about how you treat gifts that God gives you. You know what? I'm very, very thankful that I'm a free man. I've lived in other places of the world. I've visited lots of other places in the world. And let me tell you what, I am thankful that I was born in the Bible Belt. My mother, my dad, neither one of them graduated from high school. The high school, as high as it was where they were, was 10th grade. They had to go on 20 miles back in the days of the buggies and horses and walking to get to a place that gave 11th and 12th grade. Well, of course, it didn't matter to them. Didn't matter to them. But boy, were they sweet people. They taught me about love, and I thought everybody that was married loved like they did. Boy, was I mistaken. Most people that are married are so selfish. And you know why you have problems in your marriage? Selfishness. That's it. Selfishness. You want something for yourself, and you're not worried about your partner. Amen. It's me, and it's my opinion, it's my attitude, it's my want, and do it or else. I'll take my bat and ball and go home. Quit playing with you guys if I don't get to be pitcher. If I don't get to bat first. You know what I'm talking about? Didn't you grow up with something like that? The kid that owns the Monopoly set's going to take it and go home because we don't let him be banker or something. Isn't that the truth? Well, how come we haven't outgrown it? How come we haven't got to the place by the time we're married that we can give a little credit to our partner, male or female? Bless your heart, you need to love one another. You need to lift one another up. You need to go out of your way for each other. You need to honor each other. Hey, ladies, call him Lord. He might like that. That's biblical. Did you know that? That's biblical. Call him Lord. Lord Lindell. Wow, that sounds good. Interesting thing. Sarah was picked out by God to be the mother of the heir. And no matter what Abraham did, he couldn't make Ishmael the heir. No matter what he could do. And even when he's sacrificing him, God said, your only son. God didn't recognize Ishmael. Why? Because God was looking at something a whole lot bigger. Did you know that God might be doing something that hurts you today because he's got such a much bigger plan for tomorrow? And that hurt for you today fits into that bigger plan tomorrow? How about just trust God? Sarah won. She's in the roll call of the faithful. One of the women in the roll call of the faithful is Sarah. She's in Hebrews 11. And it says her faith, she even believed that her husband's body wasn't dead. How about that? Nor the deadness of her own womb. How about that? That's pretty strong faith, isn't it? Well, I probably left a lot of things that I should have gotten in. Anyway, but I had fun. I hope you did. We'll take up the next chapter next week.